Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhi Lila, chapter 13, text entitled Lord Chaitanya Dancing at Rathyatra, text number 9. While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the Daitas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord, and some caught his lotus feet. The Lord Jagannath deity was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From two sides, the Daitas caught hold of this rope and raised the deity. Strong, puffed-up cotton pots called tulis were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like bed to the next by the Daitas, while the Daitas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one bed to the next. Some of the pads broke, and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? This Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastimes. While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, "Mani Ma, Mani Ma," but he could not be heard. Purport. The word Manima is used to address a respectable person in Orissa. Lord Jagannath was being respectfully addressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Srivisakun Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radhe Vindavaneswade Visabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As Lord Jagannath came out of his temple, the devotees had been waiting for a very long time. It is said there is no fixed time when Lord Jagannath comes out from his temple. It happens when it happens. And one waits, but with eagerness. And in this way, it becomes immediately the appearance of the Lord becomes a transcendental pastime, because there is no fixed response of the Lord in regards to the process of devotional service. One cannot say, after we've chanted 1 million rounds or 1 million names, then the Lord will appear. No, he may or he may not, as he likes. He is appearing by his own sweet will. And when he is satisfied, and one cannot measure that, that's simply depending on the Lord. So it is appropriate that the Lord appears in a spontaneous way, kind of whenever it happens. So the Vaishnavas, they know, and therefore the Vaishnavas, they are not losing their eagerness. Rather, they continue. And when the Lord appears, very big Lord Jagannath in Puri, with great difficulty, being carried by very strong men with silken ropes to get some hold on the Lord, and some are lifting him by the shoulders, others by the lotus feet. Of course, Lord Jagannath has lotus feet, whether we see them or not. If we don't see the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, it is simply because we cannot see. Just as we are chanting, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami, Bhava to me. Please, my dear Lord of the universe, be manifest on the path of my eyes. So, when Lord Chaitanya saw this whole pastime of Lord Jagannath coming out of the temple and being carried by the daitas, he was chanting, and he was chanting Manima, which, as we hear from Srila Prabhupada in the purport, is a respectful way to address a very exalted personality. So, in this way, we understand that here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was first of all acting like an acharya, as he often does in the Madhya Lila. In the Madhya Lila, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, sometimes the Madhya Lila is referred to as the Acharya Lila, because in his earlier pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was hiding his identity. He was only at the end of his stay in Navadvip was Lord Chaitanya revealing his identity as the Supreme Lord, but only to a few, to a few devotees. But in the Madhya Lila, Lord Chaitanya becomes a very powerful preacher who is moving the masses. And so he did at Rath Yatra. Because when Lord Chaitanya danced in front of the chariot, such dancing had never been seen. No one had ever jumped so high. No one had ever before thrown his body in the air without thinking how they would land. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not considering. As he was throwing himself up in the air, he did not consider how he was going to come down. It was worrying some, because sometimes he would crash to the ground and they'd think that all his bones would crush in his body. And it is said that Nityananda personally took that service of catching him, of making sure he wouldn't crash on the ground. And the dancing of Lord Chaitanya caught the eye of all. For one reason, because he jumped higher than anybody else. And he jumped so high that he was way above the crowd. Right? What can be said when Lord Chaitanya's dancing was able to draw in the attention of everyone? Of course, at that stage, he was no longer saying Manima, 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 or pointing out here we are dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the Acharya who was acting to teach people. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must offer him all respects. That was only there to show externally the meaning of Lord Jagannath. Yes, Lord Jagannath riding on his chariot, Yata Krishna Yogeshwara Tatasir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvanatir Matir Mama, that when Krishna, wherever Krishna is, the supreme controller, the supreme mystic, wherever that Krishna is, there is all opulence. And there is also their Srir and Vijayo, there is all opulence and there's victory. So Rath Yatra in one sense is the victory march of the Supreme Lord who is just claiming his property. Vijay only doesn't just mean victory, but it is also a celebration of great joy. Right? It is an expression of great joy. So, in this way, the Lord is riding in his chariot over his territory. The Lord of the universe is simply, and wherever he goes, it is obvious. It is obvious. There is no doubt. His chariot is indeed enormous and befitting, and still too small to fully capture the unlimited glories of the Lord, only an indication. But by our human powers, the best we can offer. And in this way, the Lord is honored. And that is appropriate. So first of all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was honoring the Lord. But later, when he danced in front of the chariot, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a more internal mood. That internal mood is also explained because the theme of Rath Yatra is particularly that viraha bhav, that mood of separation. It is the mood where love of God has come to such intensity that the eagerness is just overwhelming. And the eagerness was on two sides. The eagerness was there on the side of Lord Jagannath, and the eagerness was there on the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both were very eager for this Rath Yatra. Lord Jagannath could not wait to come out of the temple and mount his chariot. And usually the emphasis is on the people could not wait for Lord Jagannath to come out of the temple and finally mount his chariot. That is generally the way we are looking at the situation. But this time, we can look at the situation from a different perspective, from the perspective of the eagerness of Lord Jagannath, who was very eager to come out to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, of course, was ultimately now, he was Krishna, but now Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, trying to become fully absorbed in that mood of unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, and in the mood of bringing him back to Vrindavan. And when that Rath Yatra actually took place, it was certainly a pastime taking place in the mood of separation, but at the same time, there was hope. Now there was hope that this separation would soon come to an end. And therefore it was also a jubilation, because now we have him. And now we'll bring him back. Now we'll bring him back to where he belongs, Vrindavan, there where he flourishes. Now, you know, this blemish that Akrura brought upon us by taking Krishna away will be forgotten. Now he will return. He will return to his home. When Akrura was taking Krishna away to Vrindavan, we remember that the gopis were trying to stop the chariot. So sometimes the question is raised, but wait a minute. If the gopis aren't the gopis fully dedicated to satisfying the desires of Krishna? Aren't they just pure and unalloyed, dedicated to that? They do not have any personal desire. Then, if Krishna wanted to go, then why did they stop the chariot? Why didn't they just dance in front and say, "We're going to Mathura"? Are going to mature. If that was the desire of the Lord, why did they stop him? Did they have personal desire after all? Some personal motive? No. They had only one desire, to satisfy Krishna. And Krishna desired to leave Vrindavan. And yet, they were stopping him. Why? Because they knew he's gone mad. He's gone mad. How can he willingly leave? How can he willingly stand on that chariot and go with Akrura? He will plunge himself in the greatest depression by doing so. He will suffer so much. We must hold him back from this suffering. We cannot let him go. And ever since Krishna left, Vrindavan was shriveling up, and ever since, some of the residents had fallen unconscious in the forest, but still he had not returned. Some had left. Right? He says, we cannot stay in Vrindavan. We will leave Vrindavan. If he leaves Vrindavan, we will leave Vrindavan. In this way, Vrindavan itself became dry, and Vrindavan was waiting in a spirit of separation. Who more than Srimati Radharani was experiencing this mood of feeling intense, burning separation from Krishna? But now it was different. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So now there was separation, but also because outside of Vrindavan, even meeting Krishna is still not fully meeting Krishna. So when Radharani meets Krishna outside of Vrindavan, she still doesn't meet Krishna to the full extent of her desire to meet Krishna. So there was still separation, although there was meeting, and yet pulling Krishna towards Vrindavan, it was jubilant. It was a victory march, not only for Lord Jagannath, who was riding over his planet, but also for Lord Chaitanya, who was now bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. In the Chaitanya Chandadoya Natak, we also find it from Srila Kavi Karnapur, we also find a description of Ratayatra. And there, Ratayatra is described that it looked like an ocean of moving tamal trees. So because the chariots were decorated with many green banana trees, and the crowd, all having dark skin, they were looking like the trunk of the tamal tree, and the green was looking like the foliage. So it just looked like many tamal trees. So in a poetic way, Kavi Karnapur is already sort of meditating on Vrindavan, already kind of indicating we're going to Vrindavan. And yes, it was Ratayatra. Everyone was jubilant. Everyone. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Everyone was completely ecstatic. It was Ratayatra. But there was one person with a sour face. One person who was depressed. I mean, who can be depressed on Ratayatra? Right? But there was one person who was depressed. So Kavi Karnapur describes. And that person was Maharaj Prataparuda. The king himself. How can the king be depressed? The king is like playing a major role in Ratayatra. He is like part of the arrangements that are being made. He's supervising it, giving some suggestions of how he wants it, and so on. It was directly a royal affair. How is it that the king, Maharaj Prataparuda, who we know, is such a devotee? Such a devotee. Right? Such an exalted devotee. How could such a person be depressed? I mean, isn't it that such a devotee is transcendental and is always in bliss? Huh? So, how come? How come Maharaj Prataparuda was depressed? And it is described. He was depressed because this was the first Ratayatra after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, for Maharaj Prataparuda, it was not Ratayatra. I mean, what was Ratayatra without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Of course, in the Skanda Purana, we see descriptions that Ratayatra is going on yuga after yuga, right? Already since many yugas, Ratayatra is going on every year. So in that way, Ratayatra is a pastime which has been going on for such a long time. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu partook in Ratha Yatra, it took another dimension. And it is explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through South India after taking sannyas and then returning towards Jagannath Puri. And it said, when he came to Jagannath Puri, then immediately the news went out to Bengal, and very quickly, in a very short time, the devotees from Bengal, they all walked to Jagannath Puri. And when they came to Jagannath Puri, they started kirtan. It is described in Madhya Lila chapter 11 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says the Beda kirtan pastimes of the Lord. And it says these devotees, they started Prem Sankirtan. It is described as Prem Sankirtan, not just Sankirtan, but Prem Sankirtan. They started to chant in transcendental love. And when the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started kirtan in Jagannath Puri, no one had ever seen anything like it. I mean, never. Had never seen it. And people immediately just came running from everywhere, spontaneously. It wasn't announced, and there will be a great kirtan party. No, that kirtan party was just so amazing. People just came running to see it, and people told each other about it. It was just an uproar in Jagannath Puri. The whole town of Jagannath Puri was just looking in amazement. They had never seen that. And then that kirtan came to its culmination at Ratha Yatra. And never before at Ratha Yatra had there been something like that, a kirtan like that. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in that kirtan, and that took the whole thing again to another level. So one can appreciate how amazing that kirtan was, and that whole element of kirtan didn't exist before, whatever was existing before. Whether it was just beating gongs, or whether it was blowing horns or playing other musical instruments, and even whether mantras were being sung, it couldn't be compared to what was going on at the time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally was there with his associates. So that kirtan, that very same kirtan, went into the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. It touched also everyone else. And everyone became a Vaishnava just by being there. Somehow or other, Ratha Yatra transformed all those people. All those people became transformed by that Ratha Yatra. And the seed of bhakti entered into their hearts. Right? And the end of their stay in the material world had now come. They were on the way back to Godhead. Maybe not all in that very lifetime, but everyone was being touched. And in this way, Ratha Yatra was an ocean of mercy. Just an ocean of mercy, because all these people were just getting so much mercy. Anyone who touches the ropes of the chariots will go back to Godhead. So it is mentioned in scripture. In this way, we cannot imagine. We can just not imagine how much mercy there is in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when mounting his chariot. I have spoken here before in London on Ratha Yatra, and I've also spoken about this separation that Maharaj Prataparuddha felt at the time of the Ratha Yatra when Lord Chaitanya was no longer there. Because what was Ratha Yatra without Lord Chaitanya, without all these amazing devotees? What was it? How was it Ratha Yatra for Maharaj Prataparuddha? So in the same way, when we are in London, when we are in London, we are also remembering 1973, right? How can we not remember? Whether we were there personally or whether we were not there doesn't matter, right? But still, today, when Lord Jagannath's chariot will stand next to Nelson's column and will rival Nelson's column, as it was announced in the newspapers, right, after Prabhupada's incredible Rath Yatra, how can we not think of Srila Prabhupada and his Rath Yatra? And when we heard how Lord Chaitanya danced and in front of the chariot, and how all the devotees chanted, and how they became more enthusiastic than ever, right? Than ever. The same thing happened here in London when Prabhupada ran in front of the chariot, stopped and ran back and raised his arms and danced, and everyone just got swept up in that incredible kirtan. The police said, you know, tell the old man to stop. But who could tell him to stop? Some say it was told to Shruta Kirti. Others say it was Brahmananda. From my knowledge, it was Brahmananda. Anyway, whoever it was, the police told Brahmananda, possibly, that tell the old man to keep on moving and to stop. You do not stop. You know, he blocks all the traffic. And Brahmananda looked from the police to Prabhupada and back to the police. And he was thinking who he feared the most, the cops or Prabhupada. And it was Prabhupada. So he looked, he was more scared of Prabhupada than of the cops. So he just like, sorry, you know, but I mean, I can't tell him. Right? And the cops said, tell him, you know. So then, okay then. He told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't say anything. He just said it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, the police. And Prabhupada just looked at him. And in that one glance, Purna Musikabhav, a mouse again. He shrunk to the size of a mouse. And what can a mouse say? So there was no stopping. There was nothing he could do. The Rath Yatra was just rolling down the road. That chariot of Jagannath had a life of its own. It was out of control in London. Yes, it was just out of control. It was Lord Jagannath and his devotee had an exchange right there. And Prabhupada, yes, Prabhupada was in that mood. In that mood of Lord Chaitanya, especially in that mood of flooding London, of just touching everyone, of transforming all these people, everyone, and showering everyone with mercy. And that mercy, that was the cause of his ecstasy. Of course, I'm not one to say what is the cause of Prabhupada's ecstasy? Deeper internal reasons and so on that were there for Prabhupada's ecstatic dancing. Who am I to say, right? Being a pumpkin from Holland, I have nothing to say about such things. But that Prabhupada was in ecstasy to see all these people becoming touched by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, to see that now London, which was hell, as he had said on one occasion, as we all remember, that now hell was being transformed into its original identity. Because hell is only a temporary covering. Although Prabhupada said London is hell, Prabhupada knew very well London is Vaikuntha. It is actually the spiritual world. We never fell from the spiritual world because we're still here. We just forgot somehow or other. We became covered by illusion. Going back to Godhead is not like a very long journey. Oh my God. I mean, you know, that's a long way. Right? All the way through all the universe, through the entire galactic systems, then through all the layers that cover the universe, you know, layer of of waters, layers of air, layer of ether, fire, layer of ether, the whole thing. Such a long journey. And then you only come to Mahavishnu, then you got to still go through the whole Brahma Jyoti. I mean, will we ever get there? Not by the speed of mind, pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayorata pimanaso munipungavanam. One cannot go even by the speed of mind. You know, mind is very fast, right? In an instant you can go, but even with the speed of mind, one cannot reach. But by the mercy of the Lord, and by pure devotional service, by the attempt to engage in pure devotional service, all mercy can be attained. In the Bhagavatam, in the chapter dedicated to Dhruva Maharaj, there is a verse, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yayeta purusham param. In this verse, it is said, whether you have material desires or whether you don't have material desires, you should with great force engage in pure devotional service. Now, a question may be asked, how can you engage in pure devotional service when you have material desires? So, we understand in this verse that when it is said one should engage in pure devotional service, that it refers to the process of pure devotional service. So whether you have material desires or whether you don't have material desires, in any case, engage in the process of pure devotional service. And when one is engaged in the process of pure devotional service, then the iron is in the fire, and then the iron acts like fire, and then it really doesn't matter if you have material desires or what. You know, you're somehow or other in the transcendental ocean of the pastimes of the Lord, by being engaged in pure devotional service. And then the Lord will do the rest. Sarva dharmam parijana mame kam saranam braja ham tam sarva papebhyo. I will deliver you from all these sinful reactions. So then, very quickly, one will be delivered from all these sinful reactions, and love of God will be bestowed. Because love of God cannot be stolen. It's no. You can steal milk sweets, you know. You can steal Mahaprasad, but you cannot steal love of God. No matter how much you try. No, love of God is a gift of the Lord when He is pleased. And only then, when He is pleased, He will give it. And therefore, although we're living in this age of grace, we're living in this age of causeless mercy, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who so easily accepts everyone, still we don't get it for nothing. Still we have to give it our level best. And what better opportunity than Rath Yatra? Because Rath Yatra, somehow or other, Lord Jagannath, as a deity, is described to be the most merciful deity. So that's kind of interesting, because we have deities of Gorni. It says in Kali Yuga, the deity of Jagannath is the most merciful deity. And again, that raises some questions, because you think, well, we have Gornitai. Right? Aren't they more merciful? But think of it this way. Lord Jagannath, he, more than any other deity, is accepting unlimited service. Unlimited service. Somehow or other. I mean, which deity gets more offerings than Lord Jagannath? Lord Jagannath has 60 festivals in the year, main festivals. And then there may be smaller things also. But 60 main festivals, that's more than one a week. Think about it. Every week, a big festival related to Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, you go to Puri. I mean, the whole town is just cooking. It's just Puri is just cooking everywhere. You know, whether it's, and there's baskets going to the temple, baskets coming through the temple, people, the shopkeepers that imitate the sweets of the temple, and it also counts as prasadam, because the whole town, anything out of Puri is prasadam anyway. So it's, Of course, the prasadam coming from Jagannath's temple is still prasadam directly from Lord Jagannath, and the Mahaprasadam is the Mahaprasadam. But that is Puri, just all that mercy, all these offerings. Everyone is so much busy. I mean, think about it. Every year, they built a new chariot. Right? No screws, no nails. It's all just sort of hooked together with wood. It's cut in certain ways that it locks together. So the, and they make these huge chariots. And then afterwards, the chariot is broken up after Rath Yatra, and they use it for the cooking of Lord Jagannath, the firewood. Right? And then they make a new chariot the next year. My God, you know, that's a lot of work, huh? I mean, really, think about that, you know, a new chariot, three new chariots, and rather on the large side, so to speak. So everyone thinks about it. The amount of service that Lord Jagannath requires, it's inconceivable. Huh? It does, you know, require personalities like Parasaram to stay up all night, because that's what Rath Yatra does to you, right? It makes people stay up all night. If you don't stay up all night, it's Rath Yatra. If you think, I'm going to Rath Yatra, and you sort of calculated what I'm going to do, when I'm going to Rath Yatra, I will pull the rope for 10 minutes. After that, I will dance in the kirtan for 7. You know, and then 17 minutes down the parade. Then, you know, I'll talk for 12 minutes with my friends. And if you think you can plan it out like that, Rath Yatra, then you will have missed Rath Yatra. Because Rath Yatra is of a different nature. It is of a spontaneous nature. Rath Yatra is that festival which takes everyone beyond its limits. That is the nature of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath pushes his devotees beyond themselves. In Rath Yatras, you do things that surprise yourself, right? Suddenly, you know, even sort of a person who's normally made of wood starts to dance, right? Suddenly, we become empowered. I remember one Rath Yatra in Calcutta, we were throwing bananas. We had a truck of bananas behind the cart, and we were just throwing bananas into windows, way up into buildings. And, you know, and then with my last banana, suddenly I saw a man there with a big stack of eggs at the side of the road. I prayed to Lord Jagannath for the power, and I threw my last banana, and I gave that egg seller the mercy. Crashed his stack down. And he got prasada. Very fortunate indeed. We stopped his sinful activity and gave him the mercy of Lord Jagannath. It's just amazing how this mercy of Lord Jagannath is everywhere and touching everyone, and how we all get swept up in this juggernaut, you know, in this like huge figure, unstoppable, rolling down the road, right? So it's exciting. It is extremely exciting. And it's just one day of the year to get off the mental platform. I know, it's sort of where we have our residence, right? You know, if they ask you to fill a form, place of domicile, right, or place of residence, you can write the mental platform. That's where we live. That's our normal self. From there, we are looking at the world, you know, everything colored by the mind. But Lord Jagannath, somehow or other, has this potency to pull at us. It's not that we are pulling that chariot, but Lord Jagannath is pulling us. Or we are immovable, right? Immovable. When it comes to being on the mental platform, nothing in the world can take us away from the mental platform. But Lord Jagannath. Prabhupada said, you know, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Prabhupada pointed out that Krishna can do the impossible. Is it that Krishna can make a mountain that he cannot lift? Prabhupada said, yes, he can, and then he will lift it. Right? That is Krishna. So Krishna can even move us from the mental platform. And he pulls us from this mental platform. As we are pulling the ropes. Just like in the seventh canto, in the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad, at one point, Prahlad is offering prayers to the Lord. And when Prahlad offers his prayers, Prahlad is explaining that when you are decorating your face, and you look in the mirror, then the face in the mirror is also decorated. So in the same way, as we are decorating the Supreme Lord with our devotional service, we ourselves get the benefits of it in that way. So as we are pulling Lord Jagannath, we pull ourselves off the mental platform, and we're pulling ourselves suddenly through the streets like instruments of Lord Jagannath. We become extensions of him in the sense of his will, and the mercy starts to flow through us. I remember one Rath Yatra in Soweto where we had the chariot decorated with many, many fruits, right? All fruits hanging on strings, and the whole chariot was decorated with flowers, but lots of fruits also. And the prasadam was being distributed like anything, and people were very eager, very eager. They were diving for prasadam. They wanted it somehow or other, so bad. So it went very quick, and all the prasadam was finished, even before when we were midway. You know, so then I was in charge that year of the Rath. So I said to everyone, okay, take the fruits of the chariot and distribute them also, right? Just take them, right? And we started distributing them. And Kavi Chandra Maharaj was running up and down, really running up and down, old as he is, you know, like, but so eager. And he found the most destitute one, you know, a bum lying on the street, and gave him the fruit. And I had at one point this a pineapple, you know. I pulled a pineapple, I ripped a pineapple off the chariot. And there were these old people in their garden behind the wall. And I just reached over with this pineapple. And they looked at me and said, is that for us? And it really touched me because these people, they live in Pineapple Loka, you know. I mean, South Africa, the land of fruits, which exports to the whole world, where fruit juices stand in the supermarkets in cartons of more than 5 liters stacked up. But these people were old, and their whole life they never had a pineapple. And now, by the mercy of Lord Jagannath, they had a pineapple. And little did they know that it was prasadam and offered to Lord Jagannath with devotion and came from his chariot. And thus, that, you know, they didn't know the eternal benefit, but they felt it. And they were so happy to get that pineapple. And it was just, again, Tatasir Vijayo Bhutir. It was a victory march. It was a victory march because all these people were being reclaimed. The destitute people of the age of Kali were being reclaimed. And we saw it happening right in front of our eyes. Not just some statement from a book, but we saw it. We saw how these people were becoming picked up. And, you know, and this is a time when, you know, when I feel something like a tear, you know, like sort of, my eyes get a little watery when I think about that. When it comes to Ras Lila in Vrindavan, you know, and all these things, my eyes are as dry as anything. God, are they dry. Even if I put drops, they're still dry. Nothing. No crying. But when it comes to seeing that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going out and just changing people's lives, that moves me. That moves me.
And the fact that that moves me and moves us is our saving grace. That is our saving grace. Because on that day, Sankirtan comes alive. On that day, we are just no longer begrudgingly engaging in the service of Krishna. Do I really have to surrender? I actually don't want to, you know. Come on, Krishna. Do I have to chant again 16 rounds? I just finished them, or I didn't even finish them yesterday, and how can I chant the extra rounds today? Can't you write them off, you know? Oh, come on, Krishna. Yeah. Why I have to get up so early every day? Oh, Krishna. And why have you arranged it that when you eat a little prasad, that you immediately feel like overeating? Why can't we eat unlimited? Oh, Krishna. Spiritual life is so difficult. Lament, lament, lament. Oh, Krishna, oh, Krishna. Give us a break. But no. All that is now gone. It is gone when we see how the mercy transforms people. How we see when the destitute are getting the mercy. That is something tangible, something now, something we can see, something we can perceive. And that is something that can touch our hearts for real. And suddenly we forget ourselves, you know, we fly. Oh, yes. And we can run and run and give people mercy and books and prasadam and whatever it is, or chant and dance or make them dance. And, yeah, and suddenly the entire atmosphere is magic. And we are not in London anymore. We are now very much in that transcendental pastime. Already in Vrindavan. Already there. Even on the way, we're already there. So in this way, we are getting a little eager now. A little enthusiastic. A little excited. It's happening. London Rath Yatra. The weather is right. Thank God. I mean, I can't remember if it was last year, but or whenever it was, but it was that year with the rain. And as soon as I came to the chariot, I had an umbrella, so it looked okay. And then the devotee next to me got so fired up, jumped with 2 feet in a puddle and flooded my shoes right there. And I started with wet socks. Oh, boy. But even if there are wet socks, anyway, who cares? When the mercy is going out, no wet sock can bring us down, right? Oh, no. When the mercy goes out, there is only higher taste. And suddenly, we can fly, really. At that time, we can do things that you could never do, you know, under normal circumstances. That's the nature of Sankirtan. Like I remember on one occasion, we were distributing books, and at that time the movie Gandhi was going on, you know, and I came with a box of Bhagavad Gitas, and just accidentally in front of that cinema, all the people came out, right? And I just said to the first person, this is the book of Gandhi, the Bhagavad Gita. And the person said, oh, how much is it? Right? Took it, and everyone took, and boy, I mean, I was somewhere else, right? My feet were not on the ground. I could fly, and I could just distribute box after box. Stacks of boxes went out there. A group of devotees. Everybody out of that cinema got one of these Gitas. Everyone. It was just magic. So Rath Yatra is that. It is where that magic experience of the Sankirtan movement is flooding London, and then we stand there on Trafalgar Square, and the symbol of victory, Yata Krishna Yogeshwara Tata Sir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva. All that opulence of Lord Jagannath in all his glory next to Nelson's column, grey, right? Grey stone and Jagannath in full color. You know, it's like sort of, look at the contrast. The opulence of Jagannath by far puts Nelson's column in the back. But yet, Nelson's column now is rendering some service, because Nelson's column is now also glorifying Lord Jagannath, because it adds to the fame of the Lord by standing there on Trafalgar Square. And even Nelson himself, long dead and gone, still gets benefit wherever he is, whether he's a mouse, a dog, or whether he's anywhere on another planet. Whatever he may have become, Nelson is now also being delivered from all that karma. So in this way, even retroactively, he's getting the benefits. It even, Rati Yatra even delivers those who have died long ago, right? Somehow or other, Nelson is also benefited. And along with him, so many others who were part of it. So in this way, it is indeed a glorious day. It is a glorious day, because it is the day that we remember the glory of the Lord of the universe. And as I mentioned earlier on, here in London, we especially remember 1973. And we remember that glorious victory of Srila Prabhupada in London. You know, London, it had a special meaning for someone from India, right? After so many, such a long time, British subjugation in England, and now victorious in London, you know, having an education in Scottish Church College, London, right? To stand there in London, Trafalgar Square, next to Nelson's column. what ecstasy. And Krishna, Lord Jagannath, arranged it all. And Lord Jagannath was smiling at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was smiling at Lord Jagannath. They knew what they were doing. We have no idea, just a little bit. But they knew what they were doing. And they were doing it, changing the world systematically, not wasting a moment. Not wasting a moment. Prabhupada was not traveling around the world just to get some air miles or something like that. Prabhupada was like really planting seeds in the hearts of people everywhere. Lord Jagannath and Prabhupada, they knew what they were doing. And it was such an amazing moment, a glorious moment. Now, on the 50th anniversary, it's appropriate, right, to end commemorating Srila Prabhupada for a moment and how he had that intimate relationship with Lord Jagannath. They knew what they were doing, the Lord and his devotee. They had a plan, and now that plan was coming to reality. And we're seeing it today. We're seeing the fruits of it today. And it goes on today. That plan is further unfolding today. It is the plan of Lord Chaitanya. It is the plan of Srila Prabhupada. And it's happening right now. And I don't know what's going to happen today, but I know that Prabhupada's plan, Lord Jagannath's plan, Lord Chaitanya's plan will further unfold in front of our eyes. That's why I came, because I thought I should be there and shouldn't miss out. So thank you very much. Any questions or comments?